All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, welcome to my bowling alley.
Ooh.
Yeah. This country is littered with abandoned bowling alleys, just like drive-in theaters. It's a thing we used to don't do anymore. Yeah, shopping malls, all of that. And so I figured I'd buy one of these, snatch it up. And what I was going to do is I have taken everybody loves the automatic scorekeeping televisions and their amazing little videos that play when you get a strike, right? I do not want to produce one of those because that would be, we're trying to turn a profit on this, and should have known not a lot of people bowling right now. So instead, when we get a strike, it'll just play a random let's play
in its entirety.
Yes. And it locks down. It will not actually bring the new pins down until it's done.
We invented something called century bowling.
We shall reconvene here
every few days.
We shall reconvene here 4 weeks hence.
Oh, we had to watch the let's play.
Yeah.
It's a lock in.
It deactivates
every once in a while. It pops up and it's like Xenosaga 3. So you're in there for 80 hours.
Yeah. You know,
and we don't have Persona 5 completionist run.
Yeah. We don't have any food there. You know, no nachos.
It's all gas station or bowling alley food.
Yeah.
My mom worked at a bowling alley little restaurant
kind
of thing for a little bit. So I ate a bunch of bowling alley food.
Yeah. Our bowling alley over in Ontario, Ohio, they served the best hot dogs because they toasted the bun on the griddle with a little bit of butter. So it was nice and crispy, like the outside of a grilled cheese. It was very good.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
You get a good hot dog in there.
Yeah.
I ate a hot dog on the train recently. It was a good train dog.
Okay.
Similar kind of thing.
Yeah. Did you buy the hot dog on the train?
Yeah. It was on the train up to Seattle.
Oh, okay.
The dining car.
I'm picturing like
the Max. I didn't buy it from like a guy selling hot dogs on the Max.
Just saw a guy eat on my shelf. Guy getting ready to eat a real good hot dog saying, "Hey man, you selling that?
You want a slice? I'll sell you this one. It's almost full." Let's bowl a strike.
Yeah. So I'm just
effortlessly through the magic of audio.
Yeah, I've been practicing. So I'm just gonna throw a rock here. There we go, and it is playing. Oh, that was like Fred Flintstone. Oh, it's a Flintstones game for the Nintendo.
The Rescue of Dino and Hoppy. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Addict Suffering. We realize you have a choice in podcasts and you've made the wrong one.
The last one was Welcome to Addict Suffering. We hate you. At least the last one we recorded. I like the very hostile tone that these are starting to take.
I'm picking more hostile ones. There's a wide varietal in there, but I was feeling the hostility.
It reflects. So,
somebody
your mood.
Reminded me of a Vice article I hated earlier today. It kind of put me in a bad mood.
Okay. Tell me, what was it?
I didn't want to get into the whole thing. It was their Disco Elysium thing about how they think the writer of the editorial was like Disco Elysium's cynicism stops it from being truly good.
Oh, that's
the least I've ever played.
Yeah. That is incredibly wrong. Wow.
The idea is that it's supposed to be that should have more stuff about being able to change things through politics, as opposed to recognizing that politics are a backdrop that buffet us like the winds of weather, and the game is about that.
Yeah.
Just somebody just really, really fucking stepped on a rake. Somebody I usually like. I will not name names because I don't want to talk shit about them, but it's a really angry making article.
Yeah. No, that's a shame. Yeah. But yes, okay. This week talking about the Flintstones game for the NES. You brought this one. This is a Gary pick, and I'm hoping that this isn't just another boy old cartoons are boring kind of thing.
I do think that the Flintstones is boring.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's really boring, but I just wanted to talk about weird Flintstone stuff, and I remembered playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And liking it as a kid. It's not so bad. Mm-hmm. And I think the Flintstones are weird. I also watched a clip from the Flintstones movie for the first time last night and saw Red. It's really irritating.
It is.
It's a very irritating looking movie.
And
I'm surprised that blonde twink Rick Moranis didn't like get more discourse as being hot. Because I imagine people like for a Rick Moranis. Like it seems like it's like I had that moment. I'm like, Rick Moranis is almost kind of handsome.
Yeah. No.
Can I get a blonde wig, turn him into a little shitty sidekick?
Can I get something in a mostly shirtless Rick Moranis?
Yeah. Can I get something in a hot Lady McMoranis for me?
At the bus stop?
Yeah.
Yeah. At
the bus stop? Give me an array of unseemly men as hot women. You know? Give me something sweet looking George Carlin.
Yeah.
But so I just figured we could talk about Flintstones at the very least if there wasn't anything to talk about in the game.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Because the Flintstones, I do think old cartoons are boring. And the reason why I think they're boring is because they're modeled after old sitcoms.
Uh-huh.
And it causes that dissonance where it's like, this is what kids like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy from the Honeymooners just yelling.
Why not?
Being upset about his job. You know, trying to get a promotion. Like, God. This is what we had for kids entertainment.
Speaking of Disco Elysium, the fact that so many of these old shows were just all about what dipshits bosses are, how unsatisfying jobs are, the way that it just completely dominates your life, that your boss can just like, barrel their way into your house and like force you to make dinner for them. And it determines whether or not you're going to get the big promotion. Like, how more of that wasn't just like straight up anti-capitalist is very funny to me.
I don't
like,
know.
They only had like two more steps to go.
it's surprisingly woke as an adult. As a kid, I could not have cared less about those themes and bosses.
Yeah.
As a thing. So strange to me that like my parents would like, I'd be over somewhere, like maybe someone who's babysitting me as a kid. Or my mom would want to like park me in front of the TV so she'd go do something and put on a cartoon because kids like cartoons. And part of my animus for old cartoons is that they were always about this kind of horse shit. Like, if Fred Flintstone, who is a caveman and has like dinosaurs around him, like could engage in incredibly exciting stuff.
Yeah.
At any moment. If he happens to be late for work one more time, his boss is going to dock his pay 6 rocks or some shit.
Yeah, they use clams for dollars.
Clams. Yeah. It was perplexing to me that I was expected to care about this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, your record player is a dinosaur. Everything's a dinosaur. And they never.
How is that boring? But it's amazing. It is. Like, in a world where literally, like, King Didas's touch came through and turned everything into a dinosaur. And it's still incredibly boring.
How
do they do it?
They never dealt with like the complications that result from like, okay, your record player has to shit somewhere.
All these things have to shit. Yeah. Did you see that story about like this couple or this these people on Facebook went viral because a hippo escaped and went to their pool and was like basking in it?
Okay.
And it was really cute. And then today I saw the follow-up, which is the hippo left and left 100 pounds of shit. And it showed the tub, like they drained the pool. And it's just a fucking grisly nightmare.
Well, of course.
And they're hippo and shit. All quotes are like, we don't know how to deal with this. What do we do?
Do we burn it?
Like, how do we handle this?
How do I ever swim in this again?
And that's what the Flintstones lived every day.
Yeah.
Like if your faucet is a bird, it's also going to provide shit.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nightmare.
Nightmare world.
No jokes. Didn't do jokes on that show.
It was just puns. It was just puns about rocks and dinosaurs. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be like this, I listen to rock and roll music. We use clams for money, but the real clams.
Yeah.
Any slang term that they'd use in the 50s that could potentially be an old caveman thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just they just rolled it all up. It's fine. And then they you know, advertised the Winston cigarettes in the middle of it, you know.
Yeah. My animus for old-timey stuff is because a lot of it is pre-joke. but it still has the cadence of comedy.
Before they realized that comedy needed jokes. Yes.
Yeah, and you got to do something funny in the show.
Yeah.
He's also, because it's based on 50s sitcoms, I always hated Fred Flintstone and Barney because it's always like, what if a shitty husband?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even as a kid, I was like, why are these people together? They don't like each other.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the point of the show, is that they don't like each other.
Yeah, they don't like spending time together. He spends all of his nights at the Water Buffalo Lodge, you know, yep. Which I'm pretty sure was a stand-in for the Klan.
Probably.
No, I don't actually think that, but just... Well, like a fun thing to say.
Fred.
Fred, no. And then there's that panel from the Flintstones comic that was put out recently, yeah. Where, you know, it's like, we committed a genocide, Barn, you know, talking about, I guess, the Neanderthals. Yeah.
The writer of that's very good.
Yeah.
Tom King, I think, is the writer of that, and he's excellent. Mm-hmm. So it makes me kind of want to read that, but
yeah.
It also, I had to get over the hump of buying a Flintstones comic in 2021,
which feels like a pretty profound self-compromise that you would have to go through.
Yeah, like I would be that character, like that Welcome to Marwen guy, like buying a Flintstones comic at the newsstand and then taking it home to read it for my Saturday. You know, the game of this is actually like not so bad.
Yeah.
I didn't notice this as a kid. As an adult, I cannot handle how fast Fred's feet move compared to how slow his sprite moves. It feels really bad. It's a really irritating walk cycle.
It makes it all feel very, very slippery.
Yeah. Very slippery. Yeah. It kind of ends up feeling a little bit like Adventure Island.
No. Oh, yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
With more platforming and less speed. Mm-hmm. The impressive thing as a kid is Fred mantles.
Yes.
And you know, we here on the network, we love mantling, mm-hmm. in video games. Like, that's great.
Yeah. And like that answers a question. Like, wouldn't you just pull yourself up if you just barely missed the jump? Well, he does it. It takes a little bit to figure out how to get him to do it, because he will grab on when you touch the ledge, but you have to hold both the jump button and up to make him pull. Otherwise you fall off.
Yeah, so they didn't quite figure out.
It can feel a little sloppy because you have to do both of those at once. But once you figure that out, and once you figure out the wind up on your club swing, then it ultimately ends up being kind of okay.
Yeah, I never cared for that Barney.
Barney fella,
little guy,
seemed a little seemed a little too dumb to live. Yeah.
Yeah, the little dumb guy who just kind of attached himself to Fred, and like they also didn't like each other that much.
Because right.
That was what sitcoms were. It was like, what if we all secretly had, you know, our seething resentment was out in the open.
Yeah, I know. Just, he was this real like Norton kind of figure here, pulled from the Honeymooners. Fred didn't respect Barney at all. Like, I think the Barney should have stood up for himself.
Well, I also don't respect Barney, to be fair. Like, well, I think that Barney should show some self-respect and move on. Hang out with your cool hot wife.
Yeah. Both of you are batting way above your batting average there, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Instead of just like hanging around, like talking about how to get raises nonstop. Are they supposed to be poor? They live on the ground. They're cavemen. I don't understand what a poor person is in this context.
I don't understand. Like, why is there currency?
There's a lot of socioeconomic stuff about them trying to get raises, but there are rich people in the cartoon. I remember that.
Yes.
But you all live on the fucking ground. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like it's a dinosaur caveman shit world. Like, you don't, nobody's living in opulence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Weirdos?
Wow, no good. I almost want to cut in a little bit of the theme song in this, because there has to be some reason. This is one of the NES license games that kind of adapts the famous theme song from its license property,
but does a weird, weird version of it.
It does a weird version where it diverges in a like at weird points and in very unsatisfying ways that like specifically deny you any resolution to the melody.
Yeah. Yeah. The Ghostbusters one does that as well.
Yes. The Simpsons one does it.
Also does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it is a particular kind of torture.
Yeah. Do you have Simpsons cachet or not Flintstones cachet?
I watched it. Like, if you asked me to describe like the plot of an episode other than the ones that we joked about, I was aware of it. I was more fond of the Jetsons, just because the sci-fi was a little bit more up my alley, but you know, not all, you know, no great shakes, let's say.
It's weird that they made the Jetsons. They came out with another like equally fascinating setting where anything could happen, and mm-hmm. then also just made it about trying to get a raise,
yeah,
and seething resentment for your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's like, weird. There's basically the same exact show, but with different chrome on it.
Did the Jetsons ever get a great gazoo? Like, because people who don't know, the Flintstones eventually have a magical alien imp that grants wishes
that only Fred can see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, Dum Dum. Yeah. That is constantly negging Fred.
It's a strange move. He's very important to this plot.
Oh yeah,
where Dr. Butler, okay, lawyer dentist, comes from the future to kidnap their dinosaurs to put them in a future zoo. Way cooler than anything that ever happened in the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then to keep us from going after him, Dr. Butler dismantles the Great Gazoo's time machine. As far as I remember, there was no Great Gazoo. In the Jetsons, I think like the stand-in. So the Great Gazoo was like the cousin Oliver, where, you know, the show had been it was like way too long in the tooth, and like we need to bring the kids back in. So they add in a new character who is gimmicky and annoying, and kind of a last minute appeal to raise viewership or whatever. I think the closest that you get, like the Jetsons movie had like a funny little pink furry cute pet guy who Elroy loved, you know, he wanted to save him. I don't remember if that was a part of the main series. That was the closest that I remember the Jetsons ever getting to that. Again, okay. It was all just a distraction from the smoldering unapologetic sexuality of Rosie the robot maid.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
With that big dumper.
Yep. Let me pull up to that bumper, please.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
That's not something I'm going to forget.
Formative.
Yeah. The formative dumper. The Flintstones, I remember that. I remember they had two babies, one of which had super strength, but they also didn't do anything with super strong baby.
No. He mostly just broke things when he threw temper tantrums.
Yes. Yeah. Whereas what I wanted him to do was go off and fight Magneto or something. Like something had to happen with him.
Just start for incident, making up your own stories about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they had a daughter who didn't do anything.
Pebbles. Yeah. Yeah.
Pebbles, a dog who liked Fred, and Fred hated that.
Yeah.
The dog would get up on him and show him affection, and he would be furious. Well,
wasn't a dog. It was a dinosaur. It was like a little raptor guy.
Dog dinosaur.
But he was coded. It was coded as a dog. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Hoppy, which is apparently a lady dog and perhaps Dino's girlfriend.
Maybe. I think maybe Hoppy was a late addition.
Oh, it's
as
Barney's.
Yeah, it's Barney's dog. Yeah,
yeah.
Which is
and
weird.
They have to be friends.
Yeah, also. Which is really weird because like in any of the continuities where Pebbles and Bam Bam grow up, they end up together.
Yes, it's a dynasty.
Yeah,
they join their families, and then they're three generations of worrying about getting a raise.
Yeah.
Just watch that HBO show.
Consolidating what little power they have. Yeah,
Game of Stones.
Yeah. Yay!
Bam Bam, you didn't go get a raise today, did you? Nope. I'll try again tomorrow, though.
Yeah, but never do. Oh man. The Flintstones movie is something else. We ended up just whenever you get a whole family together, you know, it's always hard to like settle on what you want to put on the TV. Like it's one of the things I appreciate about sports, because if sports is on, then sports is on the TV and we don't have to have the fucking argument about it. A couple years ago there was a Christmas where just like, you know, obviously we can't just enjoy each other's company. We have to have something on. And just the television landed on the Flintstones film. And I'm sitting there just losing my goddamn mind. You know, everything needs to be shouted twice because nobody listens to anybody. It's like just
very abrupt of incident. Like yeah. The scenes that I found on YouTube were not like these are the highlights and nothing happens in them really.
The production value is simultaneously like over the top, but also really cheap looking. Like all of the costumes are like weirdly bad fitting. The having Kyle MacLachlan in the start of his downward spiral, you know, post Showgirls, yeah. like playing the villain. A young Halle Berry in here as like the femme fatale. Very strange.
And I also feel like the Flintstone series of films jumped a lot of spaces when they made the second one, Viva Rock Vegas. the Vacation movie series of films got four in before they went to New Las Vegas.
Yes. Yeah,
before but the Flintstones had to pull the ripcord immediately. Like get to Rock Vegas right away.
It's an emergency trip. Oh shit. Yeah, I need to look at this. Very funny. So I remember I remember seeing some of Flintstones Viva Rock Vegas in the theater. Okay. Because sure. we went and saw both of these movies in the theater. And I remember being like disappointed because by that time I knew who John Goodman was. And I obviously knew who Rick Moranis was. Right. Sure. You know, John Goodman, he's King Ralph and Rick Moranis. He's from he's from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Right.
Yeah, he's from and Ghostbusters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you show up and all of a sudden you have. Not John Goodman, you have Mark Addy as Fred Flintstone. I don't know who that is, even now to this day. And then you have Stephen Baldwin as Barney.
Yeah. So,
what, you pulled in a lesser Baldwin?
Yeah, really. It's really downgraded.
Yeah.
The entire experience. It's not the kind of quality I expect from Viva Rock Vegas. Yeah. Boy, I wonder what kind of non-ball thing they used for roulette. I bet you that was a knee slapper.
It's probably an egg from one of the pterodons or whatever. God. And then it lands.
The height of humor.
It lands on one of them, and then it hatches, and the little chick comes out and says, "It's a living."
I think sometimes when I think about shit like the Flintstones and the Jetsons, the Honeymooners and everything, about how culture is a cage.
Okay.
Like, kid, you know, they had to keep rebooting endlessly the Flintstones, and the Flintstones was never good or funny or anything. And it's just, you know, in the 90s, 40 years after the Flintstones, I still had to fucking see it, like see commercials for it. And at some point they'll reboot it again.
Oh yeah.
You know, so I think on Twitter, Will was reminding me that there's that like McKay Brothers, like 2012 Three Stooges movie.
Yep. Oh, with starring Will Sasso. Where like one of the skits, because it was a bunch of skits, was about sagging. Like, oh, we're gonna pull your pants up because you young teens, you young non-white teens are walking around.
In my mind, the Three Stooges just walk around making Pokemon noises like that, basically.
Curly, curly, curly,
Larry,
Moe.
Mow. But like that's so long after the Three Stooges.
Oh yeah.
You know, we're just like culture is this trap. Like we can't forget any of these things.
Yeah.
That were big enough, no matter how mediocre and shitty they always were.
I mean, it kind of always ends up being. I went to my psychiatrist a few months ago, waiting in the lobby, because like a community kind of place, it's a big office. In the lobby, they had like a modern day like. Current Scooby-Doo, and it's like obviously the question is who is this for. Like there has to be some kind of like weird fading echo that happens from
yes
where like in the 90s you know they probably brought this back and put it up there because like the nostalgia cycle is you grew up with this and then about 20-25 years later you have a kid. And the idea is you want to take your kid to a movie that is something that you grew up with. Or like, oh, we're going to put on the Flintstones. I grew up with the Flintstones. I think that dictates a lot of that, like, cycle. But ultimately, like, how... It's a copy of a copy of a copy. Like, how many generations out from boomer shit do we have to get before we don't have to see it anymore?
It's a copy of a copy of a copy of a bad picture.
Yes.
Like, it is frustrating to me that it is irregardless of quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter whether this thing was actually like true and good and worth saving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not even part of the equation at all.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's a tired observation. It's frustrating to me that, like, you know, I'm not going to have kids. My balls are a barren landscape. If I did, they would end up knowing about the fucking Flintstones.
Yeah.
Like, something would come up and they would understand about Flintstones. They'd know about the Flintstones, or they would know about Scooby-Doo or any of these things, these mm-hmm. cultural institutions that are just absolute dog shit. And it's not just like an American thing. Like, I imagine that there are people in like Japan who feel this way about Astro Boy.
Right, right.
You know, it's like, why the fuck are my kids learning about Astro Boy?
Yeah, Speed Racer was what bullshit.
Is it? Why is my kids learning about Ultraman?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's. Mm-hmm. But like it's no. Like we're playing a long-term game of like Speed the movie. Like, if enough people forget about Scooby-Doo, like, something bad happens, summoned.
You know what it is? It's Soma. Nothing is allowed to die. There is some kind of like capitalism. I'm just going to blame it on that. But like the profit motive, you know, the whatever structure is here where we have to make the safest bets possible is it is an unthinking machine that just sees profit plus. Okay. These safe bets. It is a machine that unthinkingly keeps things alive, regardless of how monstrous the result is. You know,
yes.
It's Soma,
yeah.
Is what it is. Everything is being taken over by the nanomachines and being incorporated into the fucking surroundings. And that's yeah. Why, you know, you say that about the Flintstones and about the Jetsons and Scooby-Doo or whatever. Fuck, man, I've not seen that new Ghostbusters movie. I'm not necessarily interested in it. It sucks to think that a kid has to grow up thing knowing what a Ghostbuster is.
I don't think that kids today need to know what a Transformer is.
A Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Why do they have to? Why do the turtles have to still be around?
Awareness does not have to run straight for 40 years.
Yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog, right? Just the fact that there is just always one of those and a kid growing a Pokemon, right? Burn it all down.
Pokemon, you know, at least they're still making...
The primary products, the games.
Yeah. You know, same thing with Sonic, even though Sonic, I think, would definitely fall in that let it die thing when they started like, what if he's a werewolf? I don't know. Let's go get takeout.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't necessarily, if I had kids, if I project myself into the mind of a breeder, I don't think that I would necessarily care that they knew about, you know, shit that I liked as a kid.
You're going to have to learn about Tech Wars sometime.
It's grisly. It's vile.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that it just hops generation after generation. Fucking Flintstones. How long until a Flintstones reboot now? Like, we're going to get there's still more Flintstones. We have that comic, which is the most like recent gas. That's like 2012 or 2013. We're 100% going to get more Flintstones.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it's waiting there. It's dormant. It's like, it's like chicken pox, you know, you get it. And then it goes away and it just waits in the spine for about 30, 40 years.
Shingles.
I have morphed.
Yeah. It's me, Uncle Shingles.
Yeah.
It'd be like if Jurassic Park, whenever the mosquitoes got trapped in amber, they could like bring themselves back. You know?
God damn, it's these old ass mosquitoes again.
Yeah, it's self-aware. Speaking of mosquitoes, I was at band practice yesterday.
Okay.
And Andrew has this really funny, this big inflatable turkey for his yard that says, let's eat a big Thanksgiving turkey.
Okay.
But, I noticed it looked like you were all sad. It's like neck had lolled to the side.
No.
And then I went over, I'm like, this thing's looking pretty sad. He's like, yeah, it's become a breeding ground for mosquitoes. Water's collected somewhere and we don't know where. And I looked inside this inflatable thing and it's full of mosquitoes, like on the inside of it.
Those mosquitoes are
a horrible bomb.
It's an ecosystem.
Yeah, it's like a unit, you know, unit 71 or 781, like, you know, you drop this into enemy territory and give everybody malaria.
Good
with
God.
The let's eat
with the let's eat turkey. God, those inflatables are fucking everywhere. I've got an inflatable at the end of my street and it's just killing me. It's a gigantic, Santa, and he's like holding his hand up and waving. He's standing near a gigantic inflatable, Rudolph. And I've been trying to find the angle, where I can take the picture. It looks for all the world when you approach it from the angle that I approach it when I drive out of my neighborhood, like, Santa is just standing in the back, just rowdy raw dog and Rudolph. Like, there's a reason why Rudolph is the special boy at the front, but they're having a good time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would fuck Rudolph if I was Santa.
Yeah, I'm gonna snip that and save it in the folder called blackmail.
Who's gonna stop me? Santa has some like Flintstones. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a Santa sitcom.
Oh yeah,
that pops out. That's basically like the Flintstones. But with every once in a while on the webisodes, he fucks Rudolph.
Or it's like really implied. It's like super uncomfortable. Like
every single time he enters the room, he's like, "Oh, Mrs. Claus, I have to go get that big promotion. I hope you have dinner done." And then Rudolph is like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Real scared.
Yeah. The camera just lingers for a little bit too long. The studio audience, you know, laughs and just
dries out.
Yeah. Until it dries out. And then like there's an uncomfortable aftershock laugh. Nobody's saying an extra line. Santa's just standing there smiling.
Yeah, Santa's just very happy.
Yeah.
You know, he's living his best life.
God damn it.
You know, yeah.
There's a whole list of like the Hanna-Barbera movies or whatever. 2021, straight to video, or direct to video, film straight out of nowhere. Scooby-Doo meets Courage the Cowardly Dog.
God damn it.
Yeah.
They're bringing other things to be forgotten with it.
Yep.
Ugh. Horrible.
I don't have anything else to say about The Simpsons.
Or The Flintstones.
Or The Flintstones. I've got plenty to say about this, about The Simpsons.
Yeah. The, I always think about, when I think about Rudolph, I think about those reindeer games probably weren't that fun. What is a reindeer going to come up with?
Probably just like, going to chase each other.
It's going to chase each other around and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Probably like go try to find a tree where an apple is growing on a low branch, and whoever gets there first will eat that apple.
And Rudolph is sentient. Like, he could go read books if he can go get that dentist elf to like open them for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's no reason why Rudolph can't have higher, like get a degree.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say.
Rudolph is just a little bit. It's just a stultifying existence that Rudolph lives.
Kind of a Goodwill Hunting story.
Yeah.
You know, Goodwill Hunted. if people like this show, you can go to patreon.com/darkfeedtv and give us some dollars. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
You can also leave ratings, reviews, wherever you can find ratings, reviews to be left.
Yeah. Tell your friends, listen to other stuff on the network. And as always, come back next time.
Indeed. Yeah. What should they do until next time?
Until next time, ride Rudolph, ride.